Reconciling, healing, connecting. Solace from light seeds through music. It's a discussion that came to us spontaneously one Tuesday afternoon, after we share our personal stories. Personal stories that all have one thing in common: reconnecting with a part of ourselves abroad and how music helped us. Welcome to our podcast Sonic Migrations, where we look at where the music from our homeland brought us and continue to bring us to cultural understanding beyond borders. I'm your host, Aïssa Sika. In today's episode, we have two guests, Monica and Farah. Monica, growing up in a Spanish-speaking community in the United States, had a difficult relationship with reggaeton. On the other hand, Farah, from Algeria, as always, appreciated Rai, but both eventually form a bond with this controversial music genre. Both reggaeton and Rai have been vilified for their subversive lyrics and the discussion of subjects such as sex and the difficulties of life in all its guises. Yet they have now taken different paths. Reggaeton, a genre music that originated in Panama and blends influences from reggae, dancehall, and other Latin American music, has long been despised until its recent popularization and globalization in recent years. Rai music, originating in Western Algeria, is steeped in the nightlife of Oran, considered to be its birthplace. The traditional North African instruments of the darbuka and bendir have given way to synthesizers, drums, bass, and electric guitar, and is still a fairly controversial genre. So welcome to our episode from Rai to Reggaeton. Today we have Monica and Farah. Welcome, Monica and Farah.
Hello.
Hi, Aïssa. It's great to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really excited to talk about reggaeton today. What about you, Farah?
I'm also fine and I'm excited to talk about Rai today.
So we're going to start with you, Farah. And can you explain to us maybe like the relationship you had like with Rai and your approach to Rai while growing up in Nigeria?
Actually, I always had a weird relationship with Rai because I grew up in Algeria and it was the kind of music that has always been present in the community, in weddings and the family. I wasn't in a family context where we would listen to Rai. It was more like traditional music or like Middle Eastern music like Om Kulthum and Fairuz. But I would say Rai was not in my playlist while growing up. I always had a hate-love relationship to it. I think I never understood the concept of Rai. Now I changed. but it was a bit different for me. I was more listening to more westernized music. I guess the Farah of 15, 17 wasn't really into Rai. But I grew up and I changed and it's a nice music and I'm loving it right now.
And maybe can you tell us a bit more about the evolution of Rai? How it was like in the 60s, very different from now, and also like the use of the instruments?
I think it started with really basic or traditional instruments like the darbuka and the galal. Now they added more synthesizers and the electronic guitars. So in terms of lyrics, it didn't change much. It's still as problematic and as beautiful as it is, it still talks about relationships, about sex, about migration, about people going, about breakups. So it's still beautiful. But actually, it's interesting because the word Rai means opinion in Arabic. And this is the transmission that it has. It's music and it's a genre of music that is present in Algeria that always try to demonstrate the feelings of the people and the economic situation and the political situation. And this is, I think, why it's beautiful.
So Rai was a very revolutionary genre, I guess you could say, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I think it's also a music that started from working class. Yeah, I think it's also, it started after the independence, so it's like 10 years, but yeah, it was in the 70s. And yeah, it transmitted, like when I come back to like the same idea that I said, it transmitted the socio-political, socio-economic situation of the country back then that wasn't wow. And yeah.
Very interesting that you mentioned about feeling Farah and Rai, because it's very like characterized by feeling. And when I'm listening to Rai, it's a type of music that I feel affected by the feelings that the singers are transmitted. But as well that you mentioned like working class, because I think like for reggaeton is also as well rooted in the working class cycles. So maybe Monica, you can tell us more about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's reggaeton is a music of the people, like, you know, to put it simply. And I'm no, and by no means an expert, but reggaeton was basically developed, you know, using this dembow beat, like, you know, in the Caribbean, along with other traditional forms of Latin American music and using older style instruments, like, you know, and old synthesizers and beat makers. It was by no means like a rich man's music, you could say. So it's interesting because in the United States, I grew up in this working class context, and that was the music that was popular among the sort of new immigrants, Latinos in the United States. So we really loved this type of music, but because it was so associated with this particular community and this particular community being of a lower socioeconomic status, it was considered really trashy. And so we had this kind of double oppression in the States of, you know, racism and like classism at the same time. And if you were listening to this music, it was a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I can tell us more about like the aesthetics, because I also used to listen to reggaeton when I was younger. And I was like always like comparing like the covers of albums. They were trying like to copy paste like US American rappers, especially Black US Americans, while wearing like durags and also like large pants, baggy large pants. And it was very funny because you could see like the lack of budget and trying to embrace the US Black US American hip hop style, but
yeah, completely. I mean, that's the great and also funny thing about reggaeton. You can see that there was not a lot of money there in the aesthetics itself. I mean, I remember a lot of these covers were just really badly photoshopped and had like flames coming out of the, you know, on the cover or something like this. And that's the thing. There is nothing more that I can describe reggaeton from like the 90s and 2000s as other than bootleg. Like, it was so bootleg. And even so, like, there was like, I don't know, like, I like the aesthetics of it were also just very, I don't know, kitsch and funny. Like, for example, like, you know, the aesthetics of the time, at least of US American hip hop, was very sleek. And, you know, even though there was these baggy pants and stuff like this, it was a lot of like chains and ice. And, you know, at least it sounded like very twinkly, very precise. Whereas reggaeton was just like, you could even hear it in the difference between the music. Like, the beats just hit harder in hip hop music, whereas they don't in reggaeton, even though there is this very persistent like beat in the background. And like, I don't know, for, you know, during the time there was SpongeBob and do-rags as like, you know, this sort of gangster aesthetic, like, you know, which is still funny, but it's definitely cooler than like what the Hispanic version of that was, which was Looney Tunes, like Tweety Bird and Taz wearing like, you know, shirts and stuff like this. And a lot of the reggaeton artists wore shirts like this. So it was all just so weird and like, but an interesting like cultural kind of mixing, like, you know, so you get all of these aesthetics put together and it's just so bootleg, but it's great and it's fun. I like it a lot. It's very entertaining.
Okay, so you mentioned the kitschiness about the music genre, so maybe can you give us like an example and tell us more about it?
Yeah, I mean, a good example of this kitschiness like is this combining of these older style, like, you know, instruments in Latin America, like the electric guitar and the accordion, along with these older synthesizers and stuff like this. I mean, this is it's weird because it combines like, you know, two generational, big generational differences, you know, the old and the new. So I don't know. I'm thinking immediately of Pobre Diabla by Don Omar, which has all of these elements in it because it's a bachata song, you know. And it has like, you know, this like, you know, sort of plucky beat to it, but it also has accordions and the beat goes hard, you know, and, you know, you could get all generations on the dance floor if you were to play this at a carne asada, which is like our version of the black cookout, I guess you could say. So I don't know. It's such a nice and interesting combination, and that can only happen in a place like Latin America, I think, just because we really embrace, like, you know, those instruments and aren't really afraid to use them like in very different music styles. So it's really fun and very nice to listen to.
Yo sé que tú te callas, pero esto no funciona. Y sé que tú me engañas con otra persona. Y ya no aguanto más esta situación, porque pienso que el amor es cosa de dos.
So we talk about Farah and Monica's experiences of listening to this music genre in their home countries. So now I'm more curious to know what their experiences were like abroad. So let's start with you, Farah. Can you tell us like where did you live and how did you start like to reconnect with Rai music?
Actually, it's an interesting question because I definitely started reconnecting to Rai once I was abroad. So I lived until 19 years old, 20. In Algeria, and then went to Italy for my master's. And I think it was that moment where I just was very homesick and I wanted something to reconnect to. And Rai was one of that tools that made me reconnect to home. I think it was mainly the dialect, because it's really Algerian dialect. And that made me a bit reconnect to home. I started appreciating the music. I started appreciating the language. It was really like, really, like you said at the beginning, it's really a state of mind. So whenever I had my headphones with Rai music, I was just like, my body was just flying to Algeria. I was just in a very home context. And yeah, I think it was that moment where I was really getting into Rai, and until now, since I'm still moving. And I think it's one of the tools that make me connect to home. And I think this is why I appreciate it that much. And that's why I like it that much.
Can you tell us more as well, like your like reconnection with Rai music, like in Berlin as well?
Yeah, it's funny because last time when we were recording here, we had the whole special playlist and Refuge Worldwide playing a playlist of Rai, which was very interesting. I don't hear a lot of Rai in Berlin, to be honest. I wasn't present in a lot of parties or places where Rai is really played, so that's a bit of a pity. So if anyone knows of a Rai music party, call me. But yeah, it was one time I was in a, actually I was in a party and I was sitting with a friend, and just like I think 10 seconds of Rai music played and I went running to the thing and I was like, what? Who are you? And I went to the DJ and I was like, who are you? Where do you play this music? Where do you come from? But yeah, it felt very weird, but very surprising. And I was very happy to listen to that. I think also in the context of Berlin, I don't know why. It's really present in France, for example. But yeah, I was very happy and it's still music that connects me to home and I'm very grateful for that. And now actually my newest discovery was a Rai group that are emerging in Wahran and they are doing homage to the old music of Rai and they are called Al Bista and they do very beautiful covers. Yeah.
You, Monica, can you relate to Farah's experiences and can you tell us maybe like what was the song that got you back in touch with reggaeton?
Yeah, what I like about Farah's experience is that, like, you know, there's this whole country, like, you know, that's crazy about this music, but it's still a fairly small genre. So, you know, she finds it in these pockets, like, you know, here and there, and there's this genuine appreciation for it. Whereas I didn't have that exact same experience, like, because reggaeton was still really not that popular, at least not for many, many years. I mean, what I didn't know was that when I moved to Berlin, I had no idea that Gasolina was somehow the only reggaeton song that everybody knew, and that became the international party song. But everybody thought that any reggaeton song was Gasolina, which is a little bit, you know, a bit of a shame because there's so much good reggaeton music out there from the 90s and the 2000s. So I lost touch with it for a while. It wasn't really in my rotation because I was also in Berlin trying to find some identity outside of, like, you know, being this Latin American immigrant. But then in 2016, I heard this song by Rosalía and J Balvin called Con Altura, which was a version of reggaeton that I'd never really heard before. It was actually the reggaeton that I was kind of like anticipating would come, which was with slick production synthesizers. Like, it was expensive sounding. And it also had like the hard-hitting bass I was waiting for all of my life. And it was such an amazing song. And even though Rosalía herself isn't Latin American, like, she does pay a lot of homage to like previous artists. Even so, in her new album Motomami, she has two songs that reference a Daddy Yankee song called Saoko. And she even like acknowledges some of the problematic aspects of reggaeton music from this time, which, like, in the original Saoko, like, you know, there's a woman singing as well who's not credited, of course. And Daddy Yankee asks her, like, you know, who are you? Like, you know, and she says, tu bizcochito, which means like your sweet thing. And, you know, Rosalía takes this and turns it on its head in her song Bizcochito, in which she says, ni soy ni voy a ser tu bizcochito, which means I am not and I will never be your sweet thing. You know, so it's really cool that she does make these references to it. And I think this is also connecting a new generation to reggaeton and like actually giving them a starting point from it with this appreciation, this homage, like, you know, so that they can go back and kind of listen to it more with open and contextualized ears, as opposed to the time when I heard it, which was just full of this unknown and a lot of prejudice as well.
And yeah, that's very interesting that you mentioned about like Rosalía, because I think she's like blending a lot of genre and like crossing bridges between genres. And I really think that's what music is for, like creating a bond between people. And so reggaeton and Rai, I really think that they create a bond between the communities. For example, like people from the United States with a Latin American heritage, and the people from Latin American countries. And for example, in France, where Rai is very present, people with North African heritage and people from North Africa can somehow like being like a community, because sometimes where you belong to the diaspora and you go back to your country of origins, it can be like difficult, and you can feel somehow like an outsider. So do you think, for example, Farah, it's the case like in France, because you lived in Marseille, and Marseille is for French people like Algeria, which is, I think, a bit problematic to say that.
No.
But still, just tell me if, because you're from Algeria and then you connected somehow to people with North African heritage in France. Yeah. So tell me about it.
First of all, yeah, I think Marseille was definitely home. So I'm between Marseille and Berlin. Yeah, I think I never heard that much Rai in a EU country, like in a Western country, than Marseille. But then, like you said, I think we stopped considering Marseille a French city. But yeah, no, it was really present. The music was present everywhere in the city, which was very impressive. It was in the beach, it was in the restaurants, it was in the balconies. People were, you were just go walk and do groceries, and you're just hearing Rai everywhere, even if in small phones, like even if the playlist is on the phone, you don't need big speakers, which was very crazy. But yeah, I wasn't homesick in Marseille. I was just going to do groceries in Arabic. I was getting stuff for free. but yeah, I think this, yeah, I think definitely music do this bridging cultures between the second generations or the diaspora and the people of home origin. I think music does that. I think any kind of heritage or any kind of tool, I think fashion does that. I think books does that. But yeah, Rai music is definitely one of it. But also a lot of artists, like, for example, if we talk about Cheb Khaled, he went to France to do some recordings. He was the one a bit considered the artist that went to, like, that got the Rai international and got the Rai very famous. And he has a very interesting song, a very cool song also, that is called the Wahran Marseille. and it talks about this whole trip from Wahran to Marseille. But yeah, I definitely think music, and I definitely think in this context of North Africa and France, Rai is really present. And yeah, I think Rai is also very present in France in general, I think, because there is a big community, not only Algerians, but also a very big North African community. And yeah, it's nice. There are a lot of events about Rai. I think there were also a lot of museum exhibitions in Paris or big cities in France about Rai, and it's really getting to get famous and more known, which is very cool.
Yeah, it is. And I also used to go to Rai parties in France, and
nice.
It was really nice. And so what do you think about it, like, Monica? Do you think, like, in the context of the United States, reggaeton and the diaspora and people from Latin American countries, is the same experience?
I would say it's even more different, because at least for me, I mean, I'm this first generation sort of immigrant, or like first generation American born, like, you know, from Latin American immigrants, or at least just my father. Like, my mother is from the Caribbean. And so I have a completely different relationship to it, because the thing is that my father is from a very small country in Latin America, from El Salvador. And what's interesting about these tiny countries like this, El Salvador, Costa Rica, Panama, we don't have this huge overarching identity like some of the other Latin American countries do, like Brazil or Argentina or Colombia. So the places where reggaeton was born, Puerto Rico, Panama, the Dominican Republic, they're tiny. And these were the people that also moved to the United States, some of them, and were making music there or making music back in the home countries. And it became popular wherever there were Latinos. And so I felt it was such an interesting experience to feel connected to a broader sort of Latin American culture, even though it wasn't specifically our own. It gave us some type of identity through music, as opposed to a national one, or, like, you know, one that existed within the specific borders of a country. So I was using, like, you know, Puerto Rican slang, even though my family was from El Salvador, and a Salvadoran slang. Like, it's an interesting mixture. And so I felt like I've taken that beyond this first point of diaspora to Berlin, where I live now, because now that I'm with other Latinos, we can use all kinds of slang with each other, especially, like, you know, if you're from a smaller country like this. And it's a very beautiful thing, like, you know, to mix all of your things together, like to mix, like, Mexican and Costa Rican and Argentinian slang or whatever, like, you know, slang together, and that you have somewhat of a miscommunication, but also you know exactly what they mean. Like, I had no, like, I was singing Saoko before I even knew what it meant. And now that I know what it means, it's a really, it's an interesting experience for me to use that with other people and to, I don't know, get some cross-cultural knowledge from this part of the world. So I'm very thankful that this is something that I can connect to people with, especially in a place like Berlin, where there's unfortunately not too many of us, but it's still nice to connect with that community.
So thank you both, Farah and Monica, for having shared your perspective and insight on your personal stories and the music genres.
Thank you so much, Aysa, for having us.
Thank you. This was fun.
If you want to listen and dance to some Rai and reggaeton music, you can check out our playlist on Spotify. Thank you to Open Music Lab for sponsoring this project and supporting its production. Sonic Migration was written and produced by Farah Jabi, Monica Gutierrez, Hassan Deeb, and myself. Hassan was our sound editor, and I'm your host, Aysa Sika. Thanks for listening to Sonic Migrations. We hope you wander the world through music with us again.